Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for this review of the news and of Jurassic World Dominion. It's a style of movie that sucks. I hate it. It's when a series of movies has reached such maturity that they're like, we don't need to be interesting. We just need to redo the exact same thing we've been doing but and allow the public to rebond with the characters that they love so much, and so we're going to bring back every single element that has existed in the past movies and we're going to mash it up and create a new movie with it because we can, because people will be so attracted by just the name of the movie that we don't need to be excellent. And that's exactly what Jurassic World Dominion is, and they're trying to mash up so much things from the past movies that to a certain point it becomes very hard to follow. They try to do three stories, one involving the old archaeologist and his wife. Well, in Jurassic Park 1, it was his wife. She's now his ex. And then they have the story with the little girl that is a clone of her mother, that is a little bit like the Velociraptors. They have used genetic technology to make a clone of herself and to give birth to herself. But recreate herself after her death. And there's even a new story trend with a human kidnapping, a network of military agents, which allows to add a black protagonist, a black man and a black woman protagonist to be added to the whole thing. You end up with three stories, some about archaeology and science, some about the genetic dangers of having clones like the little girl, And of course this little girl is accompanied by the trainer of Velociraptors from the past movies. And then you have the whole human trafficking, big evil corporation trying to kidnap the girl, and also a bunch of people on the black market selling dinosaurs as weapons. Basically, every single element of the main elements of every single past Jurassic Park has been integrated into this finally. Dominion is truly the word to use here. That's the word in the title, but it's what happens when a Hollywood series has attained the stage of Dominion. They don't even need to be interesting. Absolutely confusing movie that doesn't, you know, like Jurassic Park 1 was succeeding at being fascinating, at introducing the audience to complex philosophical questions. But here it fails because there's so much action packed in. They try to bring back the mathematician. Of course, it's always fun to see this guy, but he actually plays his role very weak. His dialogues are very bad, and he has become since then an author of a book called I laughed my ass off because my book is called The Amazing Story of How Life Begins and How It Ends. The book by the mathematician in this Jurassic World Dominion is called something like How the World Will End. He almost has my subtitle, and so he's become a kind of celebrity of science, and he's giving courses, and he eventually helps the female and the male archaeologist to get a DNA sample to prove that some insect which has been attacking human crops, attacking all the crops except the biosyn crops. So that's one aspect of the movie that could have been the central aspect, and if they had not added all of the crap around it, that could have made a good movie. It's basically a GMO corporation that is leasing lands from farmers. So the farmers are not independent anymore. They have to grow the crops of biosyn. And this company is also engaged in creating a new kind of insects that basically are unleashed in the world, and they end up eating all of the crops except the biosyn crops. That is an evolutionary... That is an important question that could have been explored as the main pillar of this movie. Unfortunately, it is not. This whole idea that a corporation could use evolutionary forces to outcompete its opponents. I mean, it's pretty much what we've seen with Monsanto, where they do all sorts of genetic modifications, and all these other companies also that do it. And then they plant a sign on the farmer lands, and it's basically their lands there. They're really being leased those lands, and they take over the crops. And not only this, if a regular farmer who ends up pollinating his own corn, if he ends up integrating one of the genes from the neighboring crops by accident, they can sue him and say, hey, you're using our crops without paying the copyrights. You can't do that. So that is a very interesting parallel. They could have built around this, but the movie is so much out there and seeks to add sequences of action that it's not an interesting movie. And the philosophical matters brought by Jeff Goldblum, they're extremely superficial. We don't spend enough time in it. In Jurassic Park 1, you had the clash of characters that were representing the business side, the dreamer side, the scientist worried about stuff, the archaeologist fascinated about the idea of seeing something from the past, but it doesn't come out in Jurassic World Dominion, so I don't recommend this movie. Although it's not that, you know, based on the regular shit that gets released by Hollywood these years, it's not terribly bad. It's just that there's so much references to past movies. Even Jeff Goldblum at some point, they talk about Jurassic World, which is also the title of one of the old movies. And he says, Jurassic World? I'm not a fan. And so it's a reference to a past Jurassic Park movie being bad, and these kind of inner references, they are so annoying when they do these. Go Away says, the left is dog whistling in this movie. They are trying to demonize you, JF. Are they? Because of Jeff Goldblum's book. I don't think it was a reference to me, but I am announcing the way in which humanity will die. And I am giving the solid scientific basis for it, and yet no one is talking about it. What are people waiting for to acknowledge that I've produced one of the most important scientific theory in the history of human civilization? What are people waiting for? Do you all want to die without having had the chance to engage with a piece of knowledge that is so important, so life-changing? Anyways, Ariel Sorez says, it was pretty good, so I may watch it again. Talking about Gladiator, I've had Gladiator recommended to me recently, although I watched it a long time ago. Yeah, you know what? It's one of the movies that I've avoided for so many years because I was like, oh no, not one of these fucking Roman chariot movies where it's going to be all fighting. And I spent more than a decade, I think, without watching it. And recently I watched it. It's a very good movie. It's much more subtle than you would think based on the advertising around it. It's really the story of a man, and there's a story of vengeance, and there's of course, the guy who plays the Joker is in this, and he plays the kind of aristocrat prince type. It's extremely interesting, much more than I would have expected. All right, so that's it for my Jurassic World Dominion review. If you would like to support the show, DK Shadow says, JF hasn't seen Gladiator until now. Exactly, I watched Gladiator about 6 months ago. And I had never watched it before. And it was a super chat that, or a chat that incited me to watch it. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to support the show. You can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Someone has been answering to my critique of yesterday. Yesterday, I criticized this guy, Apollonian Regime, who was talking about Edward Dutton, and I was pointing out that his critique of Edward Dutton is not a fit. It doesn't work. It's a weak critique that was based on a straw man around the words, who will inherit the earth? And I was pointing out, he says, who will inherit the earth? For him, it's in the sense of who will control the earth, who will have power. And for an evolutionary biologist who will inherit the earth, it's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of how much religious people are you going to have to in the future compared to non-religious one. So that was my critique yesterday. And today he answers, he says, Dutton is right about mutantism. When submitting a doctoral thesis, the author is subjected to scrutiny by his professors and gets a chance to offer a defense. As such, it is only fair that I offer my defense of the article What Dutton Gets Wrong About Religiosity in response to JF's rebuttal. In his rebuttal, he makes two arguments. Primarily, that I am redefining the expression inheriting the earth, and that this invalidates my claim. He puts almost all of his eggs in this basket. Then he briefly voices his objection to mutantism. So he starts explaining here, the expression inheriting the earth comes from the Torah, and it was about rulership and inheritance. I don't care about this. I will skip over this entire section from here to here, because it doesn't matter if someone used the expression in a different context before. If you criticize Edward Dutton and Edward Dutton meant it that way, you have to criticize the meaning of Edward Dutton. It really doesn't matter if the metaphor has been used before, or this figure of speech or way of speaking has been used before. You know, people don't stamp property over words. And so when you criticize an author or a thinker, you have to criticize his thoughts, not the way he phrases his thoughts. And you cannot allow yourself a straw man on the back of the fact that the author used precedingly existing words to kind of summarize his view. You have to address the words of the author. So absolutely crap argument. You must be some kind of autist or whatever. You don't understand just basic respect of thinkers. Fuck this argument. It's the most disgusting thing I've seen being defended. You suck. Now, on the other point, mutantism. JF's objection to mutantism is simple. Show me the mutation. In other words, if he doesn't see it, the evidence is insufficient for him to accept causality. So here we are on the question of, is it proper to be calling modern SJWs and leftists of all kind mutants or spiteful mutants? Is it correct that somehow their behavior, which is characterized by some people as unfit or ridiculous or irrational, is it correct that this is due to an accumulation of latent mutations? And I've always been saying, if there's more and more leftists in current society, then it's not just mutations accumulating. If there's more and more leftists in current society, it means that it is naturally selected to be like that. Somehow there's something in the leftist behavior that is increasingly fit in our current society, or at least in the close past. We don't know what will happen with the future. So my point has always been, don't call these mutations or accumulated mutations, suggesting somehow that they are dysgenic. because in fact they have to be eugenic in some form. They have to help the people who bear them, or else they would have disappeared already. They have to have helped at some point in the close past, because the rise of leftism has been occurring for the last 100 years. This has to come from some advantage that was obtained by the leftist phenotype. He says, the first problem with this argument is that mutants obviously exist and we can clearly see them. Well, that's a circular statement. Like, don't you see them, JF? They are mutants. I'm asking for a proof. I'm asking for, if you're going to claim this, you're going to have to undermine my natural selection argument and demonstrate some kind of evidentiary basis that leftism is due to an accumulation of neutral or dysgenic mutations. You haven't done that. He says, the second problem with this argument is that this is an invalid standard. There is no physicist who can show you the curvature of space-time or the gravitons in actions. However, they can show you their effects, and they can make reliable predictions based on their measured observations. For the purposes of this article, let's refer to this standard as it can only be the case. For instance, given a planet of mass A, it can only be the case that a satellite of mass B will gravitate towards the planet at acceleration C. That is an absolute mischaracterization of what is the standard of evidence in physics. If a physicist came to me and said, JF, I have found how gravity works. It works because of mutations. And he would be like, look, the mutations of planet Earth are attracting the mutations of the moon. And the rate of attraction between one given mutation is this. And that's why you end up having this acceleration from the Earth to the moon. If someone was to come with this theory, I would say provide evidence for the gravitational mutations. The reason we don't have to question a descriptive theory is because it makes no mechanistic claims. The theory of gravity as it stands right now doesn't claim a mechanism behind. It says there's the amount of gravity and we can observe it very well by looking at two stars and looking at a star and a planet and looking at an object falling to the ground on planet Earth, and we can tell that it's a proper description. But if you have a mechanistic claim, you have to have evidence for the mechanism. Just like if you have a descriptive claim, you have to have the descriptive evidence that goes with it. The problem with your concept of mutations driving leftist behavior is that you are making a mechanistic claim without the mechanistic evidence. If you were to tell me, Jeff, I have a theory of leftist behavior. Here's my theory. I've looked at people, there is leftist behavior. And look, this guy is a leftist, and I've recorded his behavior, and it's leftist. And here's the amount of leftists that were present in 1930, and here's the amount of leftists that are present now. All of this is descriptive, and I would not request evidence for mutations. But since your theory is mechanistically tied to the concept of mutation, you're saying it is mutants. Then I ask for evidence of that, because there's an alternative theory. It's not the only possibility that leftists are the subject of dysgenic or neutral mutation accumulation. In fact, here's an alternative theory. Leftists have been naturally selected for their behavior. They are doing well in our society. They are draining salaries from the state and they're building families. They are being accepted in their community because they're sending their child to public school brainwashing. All of this works. It's an alternative theory. And because this alternative theory hasn't been disproven, and in fact, there's kind of good evidence that it is the case, your theory sucks. And you have to present evidence for your theory, yes. Because an alternative theory seems to explain reality better. Now he starts attacking the revolutionary phenotype. My man, this is not the right way to go. I'm going to read every word of this. He says, why should I show the mutation to JF when in the revolutionary phenotype, even he applies the it can only be the case standard? In his work, JF is the one who claims, and I paraphrase, that if the three conditions of a revolutionary phenotype are met, then it can only be the case that a new genetic layer will emerge. False. That is not my statement. My statement is not that if these three conditions are met, you're certainly going to have a new genetic layer. My statement is that there's two statements here. If the three conditions are met, you can have a phenotypic revolution. In other words, those conditions, I pose them as problems. I call them the three problems of the phenotype. The three problems of the phenotype are obstacles. And so they don't. It's not that if you go beyond these obstacles, you've already committed a phenotypic revolution. It's that you've made it possible. I say a phenotypic revolution cannot happen if there's not a solution found to these three problems. And that is true. So I don't go by the standard you claim that it can only be the case. Now, the second thing I state in the revolutionary phenotype, and that's about the addition of a genetic layer, is that the addition of a genetic layer is a reflection of a past phenotypic revolution. So notice I'm not saying it can only be the case that a phenotypic that solving the three problems will lead to a new genetic layer. I'm saying in the same way we look at the wings of a bird and we conclude, all right, well, the ancestors of this bird must have faced an environment in which it was better to fly than not to fly. When we look at a new genetic layer, we should conclude that a past life form has found it better for itself to encode itself in an upper genetic layer than a lower one. So you have here the addition of a genetic layer by phenotypic revolution. I'm not saying it can only be the case. In fact, in chapter 11, I'm showing that there are alternative solutions to the problems and that a life form stuck in a phenotype can find other ways that do not engage in the addition of genetic layers to escape the bounds, the shackles of the principle of phenotypic servitude from the life form from which it emerged. So it is absolutely a mischaracterization of what I say in my book. I was talking earlier about alternative theories, and since we're talking about sex, because chapter 11 is about sex, it's perhaps time for me to also explain a third alternative theory, instead of saying leftists are mutants. So the first theory is yours, it's leftists are mutants. The second possibility is leftists are not mutants. They have mutations that were naturally selected and that are not dysgenic. In fact, they were pretty favored by evolution in the last 100 years. That's why they became so numerous. Here's the third hypothesis. Without a single mutation happening, you could have sexual reassortment of already existing mutations such that the partnering of males and females ends up converging toward genomes that combine mutations that were already present in the population, but combined together, they give you leftist behavior. And it turns out that leftist behavior is naturally selected in the current world. That way you could have zero mutations, zero new mutations, but you could have an increase of leftist behavior simply by the way certain genes recombine in the modern world as opposed to how they did in the past world. So let's not forget that sexual reassortment allows the recombining of nonlinear effects from genes such that you don't need novel mutations to explain novel behavior. That's an important principle in a sexual species, which constitutes a third alternative. A third theory that constitutes a second alternative to your theory of leftists as spiteful mutants. He says, oh yeah, show me the revolution. Can't? Sorry, no evidence. Of course, that is ridiculous. We can clearly see the effects of the revolutionary phenotype taking place at all three stages of the revolution. Well, that is false. I am providing evidence of the phenotypic revolution. The evidence is there are currently viruses that are surviving that will switch from RNA to DNA. This means that in ancestral times, there was a possibility for early life forms to switch from RNA to DNA and down from DNA to RNA. This is a tango. It's evidence that a replicator tango has existed before. Therefore, I provide evidence that there was a phenotypic revolution in ancestral times, not to mention the fact that the principle of everlasting fingerprints stated in chapter 10 shows that genetic layers themselves are evidence that a past revolution must have occurred. Silver Spider says, go away. Yes, but the environment is the phenotype. Then they are making the environment leftist. Yes, I would agree with this. Go away was saying, Silver Spider, that implies some kind of group selection, though, or that natural selection has an ethnic bias. Natural selection doesn't care if your genes get mixed with browns, even if you do. Yeah, group phenomena does not imply group selection. Let's never forget this. Group phenomena can occur and emerge, and ethnic preferences even can occur and emerge without a group selection-based strategy. He says, you see my point? Not only is the show-me standard completely nonsensical, but more importantly, why should I adhere to a standard to which the person applying the standard does not apply it to his own work? As such, I will go right ahead and not even bother to show a mutation. Instead, I will apply the it can only be the case standard to which JF adheres to in his own work. I have demonstrated that I do not adhere to this standard. I have provided evidence for the theory of phenotypic revolutions. And on top of it, I have provided alternative hypotheses that would equally or better explain the facts that you talk about. So you're in trouble, my friend. You are completely divagating. Your text is horrible. Under circumstances of strict selective pressure, if a gene's phenotype leads to an evolutionary dead end, the gene will be removed from the gene pool. If the phenotype emerges, it cannot be due to inheritance. Therefore, it can only be the case that the emergence of a dead end phenotype is the result of a mutation. False. You are misinterpreting. First, you are declaring that leftism is a dead-end phenotype. You don't know that. It's not been a dead-end phenotype for the last 10 years, not been a dead-end phenotype for the last 50 years. And over the last 100 years, the leftist behavior has been increasing. So clearly, it's not a dead-end phenotype, as you claim. Then you're mistaken in thinking that even something that would be today a dead-end phenotype, today something that truly reduces your chance of having babies, that wouldn't mean that in the past it didn't increase your chances of having baby. Maybe the very thing, the very cognitive structure that leads a leftist today not to have babies is the one that led them to have more than 10 babies 50 years ago. So you have to understand that the environments constantly change, and you cannot judge a gene as a dead end. There's no such thing. It's a dead end in a given environment, maybe. Go away, says JF. Could we get a quick recap of Dutton and this guy's central thesis for those that missed the show yesterday? I did it at the beginning, but I can redo it. So basically, their theory is leftist behavior that they consider degenerate or dysgenic are the result of an accumulation of dysgenic mutation. And so leftists would be filled with all these mutations that have been appearing in society because society wasn't selecting strongly enough. So basically you had all these handicapped genes that made it through and survived, and they've accumulated into people to the point of leading them into dysgenic, degenerate behaviors of the kinds that we know. And so therefore this theory, basically the central pillar of this theory, is that leftists weren't subject to natural selection. They are really an accident of nature coming from a process of accumulation of dysgenic genes. Now, that's the pillar. That's what they think. And I've always pointed out that there's no evidence that this is the case. There's literally zero evidence that this is the case. And he doesn't show any evidence. He just switches his standard by saying, it can only be. Well, no, it can't only be, because Papa JF has two other alternatives to offer to you, and you haven't addressed them. He says, an argument could be made that under slightly less strict selective pressures, the gene would not completely be removed, and thus it opens the door for inheritance. The problem with this argument is that it is a semantic abstraction. All genes originate as mutations, except for the first few back when the DNA revolution took place. If the door has opened for the inheritance of a dead-end gene, the fact remains that the gene is still a mutation, regardless of whether it mutated in the genome of the organism or its ancestor. Well, if you're going by this standard, then everything is a mutation, and everything that gets naturally selected is a mutation. But if you go by that standard, the whole genome is a mutation. I don't care about this extended standard, because the hypothesis of you and Edward Dutton is much more specific than this. It's not just saying everything is a mutation, therefore leftists are mutants. Because by this standard, then Edward Dutton is also a spiteful mutant. The very specific hypothesis of Dutton is that those are mutations that destroy society. They are like errors of nature that lead to destructive behavior, that are not subject to selection, but that are dysgenic, and that are emerging from a dysgenic process. That is a process that has left too many people alive. And all I point out is, if we are in a world that lives too many people alive, then perhaps being that way as to be left alive is the most efficient way to exploit the environment. Consider the possibility that you could have all of the state care for you, care for your family, no need to produce something for the free market, no need to uphold moral principles other than, let's just care for everyone. That might be, in the current state of society, the best way to survive, the best way to have babies. And therefore, it wouldn't be a dysgenic thing. It would be a positive natural selection pressure applied to this kind of behavior. Go away, says... is that Dutton's idea or the author of this article, or is Dutton the author of the article? Sorry for the confusion. Well, Edward Dutton, I've criticized him separately, but this guy is writing an article today that's called Dutton is Right About Mutantism. So he seems like he's a different guy than Edward Dutton, and yet he believes that Edward Dutton is correct. So I'm criticizing both ideas at the same time today. Go away says, so this is someone else, but they agree with Dutton. Sorry, I thought this guy was rebuting Dutton. No, he was rebuting me from yesterday's show and taking side with Dutton. But I mean, I'm happy that at least this guy has read The Revolutionary Phenotype, but he severely misrepresents it on his blog post. Silver Spider says, if Dutton saw a bunch of deer eat all of the vegetation, eventually leading to them all dying, you would say they are spiteful mutant deer. Yeah, exactly. Whereas this is actually selfish genetic evolution in action. You don't need to have a concept of spiteful mutants to explain any of it. All right, moving on to the news items. Serious adverse events of special interest following mRNA vaccination in randomized trial, a scientific study posted at the beginning of this month. In 2020, prior to COVID rollout, blah, blah, blah. So they have studied the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines and their increased risk of serious adverse events of special interest, with an absolute increase risk of 10.1 and 15.1 per 10,000 vaccinated over placebo baselines. And their conclusion, they say the excess risk of serious adverse events found in our study points to the need for formal harm-benefit analysis, particularly those that are stratified according to risk of serious COVID outcomes, such as hospitalization or death. That is an important stance. So it's the first time I see scientists, like serious scientists, come out and say, it's about time we ask, is it really better to get the vaccine? Or is it not? And they talk about stratification, because if you have 15 children affected by a grave adverse event out of 10,000, that may be more harm than would have been done to this population via COVID itself. Goway says that means it's working. Yes, that was the argument at some point, unfortunately. But it's good. It's good that some scientists are coming out and saying, look, the numbers don't add up. And it's my impression that the adverse events are miscounted and under-evaluated, because I've seen so much denial by doctors. I've seen cases of just straight-out fraud and misrepresentation by these companies and their studies. They have to hide some under the carpet, it's my view. Or even just the fact that people may not realize that they're undergoing a side effect of the vaccine. For all these reasons, I think that if you come to a number, it has to be an under-evaluation of the true number of people hurt by the vaccine. And yet, even the number, even these undercountings, are starting to worry certain scientists. 20% of men who think they are fathers are not. That was sent to me because yesterday someone mentioned a 30% of men would not be the father of the child that they think they're the father of. And he sent me this blog post as support of this. Well, this blog post claims 20%. They base this on a claim of a random paternity test given between 200 and 300 women in the east of England, and 30% of their children could not have been fathered by the men whose blood groups had also been sampled. Okay, it's a small sample, and it's not genetics, it's blood group analysis. I don't know. It seems like an extreme over-evaluation. And then other supporting evidence comes from paternity tests. But you know, when you do paternity tests that have been requested by the male, but if you're a male requesting a paternity test, I would say you're probably more likely to not be the father of your child than a random man. Because when you do a paternity test, it's because you have some doubt. So, and these studies, they end up between 10 and 20% approximately of fathers being found not to be the father. So within the population that is highly doubtful of the possibility that they may not be the father, we reach 10 to 20%. So I think that the 30% is probably a misestimation. the 10 to 20% is also probably an overestimation because it's only among the doubtful fathers. So the real rate of paternity fraud of that kind, say, of a man believing that he's the father but he's not, I would estimate that it's probably between 1 and 7%. Because these have to be over evaluation because of the method that were used here. So not as common as is claimed by the title of the blog post. Republican Senator Kramer suffers serious hand injury, may need amputation. He suffered a serious injury while working in the yard. Okay. Mama JF, what's up?
Oh, yes. Me in my circle of normies, okay? I'm the only one who's not vaccinated. And everybody's vaccinated. And they all had COVID.
Yeah.
And me, I never had COVID.
Yeah, that's the negative efficacy of the vaccine in full action.
Even one girl, she said, oh, the vaccine is not going to keep you from getting COVID. It's just going to keep you from dying from COVID.
Yes.
I'm like, you don't even die from COVID. they say that in between themselves and they still take it.
Yes, and they all end up with COVID. It's probably some kind of ADE going on. I mean, how can you have the vaccine and then you're more likely to get COVID? It has to be some kind of mechanism where the body is kind of made more likely to be infected by the true thing. MSNBC guest tells inflation-anxious Americans, stop complaining, calm down. Despite inflation constantly polling as Americans' top concern, MSNBC guest Michelle Singletary, a Washington Post columnist, thinks that a great deal of America should just suck it up. There is a great deal of Americans where it is uncomfortable that they're spending more, but they are not going to go under. You've got to stop complaining. You still have your job, so I'm going to need you to calm down and back off. That's the Democratic response to people's worry that suddenly society has converged where it's going to be basically impossible to live in some degree of abundance. It's going to be basically impossible for people at the low levels of society to acquire a house and a place to live. They're going to be renters for the rest of their life, paying super high prices for gas just to get to work, just to make a little money that won't be even enough to live in a degree of acceptable non-poverty. And they're like, you have to back down, sir. We're renovating society. You don't get it. How is it that people don't want that 100% Trump back? I don't get it. I mean, under Trump, this wouldn't have happened. Unless Trump would have went so much with the COVID stuff and the Democrat stuff that basically it could have happened. But if Trump was there and pushing some kind of Republican, some kind of right-wing project for America, we wouldn't be there. Go away, says Jeff. Think about how he would have handled Ukraine. I mean, the Ukraine war would already be over. It would be lost by Ukraine. Go away, says Jeff. What's actually the problem with inflation? Unless you keep all your savings in cash under the mattress, all your assets will raise and so will wages eventually. There are serious problems with inflation, even if you don't keep cash in the bank or as in the form of bills. Here's one of the problems, just to show you how this little distortion of the economy will impact so many other things. Consider the minimal salary. The minimal salary is set by various states, and it sets the degree, it basically distinguishes our society from one where like slavery basically would occur naturally. It imposes a minimum standard of living for the working man and woman. Inflation happens, the minimal salary will not follow it. it will follow it with a great delay, sometimes 10 years later, 20 years later, and then you have other inflation then. So inflation strangles the bottom of society very hard, very hard. And then inflation makes it so that at your current contracts that were already signed for a year, for maybe 2 years, you are poorer. And because you're poorer, you will spend more dollars on your gas bill, but then you will have less dollars to tip at the restaurant, and you may not go at all to the restaurant. And then you have a server at the restaurant who loses their job because people don't have enough money left to tip, and they don't have enough money left to even go at the restaurant. So inflation totally messes everything. It's like the economy is a house of cards, and inflation comes in and kicks one card. Lonzo says, go away. Inflation distorts the capital structure of the economy in favor of those who are politically connected and who get the money first. Absolutely. So yes, it has serious consequences other than your theoretical value of your accumulated cash in your bank account. And also, I would point out, cycles of inflation of the kind that we've had in Western civilization forever, they mess up the investment structure of capital and the role of capital in the allocation of resources. Because here's the problem. If I look at Bitcoin, for example, Bitcoin has inflated but 1 year ago. And now fuel inflates now. And the expenses will keep inflating maybe in 6 months from now. So you end up having some people who were at the right place at the right time. They went into BTC, BTC rose, they sold, and they'll be able to cover these expenses. But not everyone is at the right place at the right time, because these cycles are so artificial that it's actually not genuine economic energy that gets translated in this. It's basically profiteering. It's people trying to profit and then causing, by their very attempt to profit, the changes that will hurt other people who don't have the means to attempt to profit from a BTC wave and then sell for being able to pay the increase of expenses that happen in society a year later. All of this messes with the true role of the market. All of this makes our society not a capitalistic one, because all of this is set by policy making, government politicians, and Fed board members. It's extremely bad for the whole of society. Biden nanny state comes from for the smokers. One day after the Biden administration said it would develop a rule requiring tobacco companies to reduce nicotine levels in cigarettes, a new report via WSJ said the Food and Drug Administration is preparing to order Juul Labs to take its e-cigarettes off the US market. More interventionism from the Democrats. You're going to look like Canada in 10 years from now. Biden blames Putin, refiners, and gas stations for record prices. It was the cost of saving democracy. You're not saving democracy by sending $40 billion to Ukraine. First, Ukraine is not even a democracy anymore. The party opponents' assets, the assets of all opposing party to Zelensky, have been seized. Some of his political opponents are under arrest. There is no more democracy to save in Ukraine. There is absolutely nothing left democratic in Ukraine. It's been seized and destroyed. Here's what Biden actually could do to lower gas prices, but is blocked by environmentalists. Biden's proposal for a three-month gas tax holiday, the same one which his predecessor in the White House, Barack Obama, joked about opposing before the 2008 election, and which would cut the price of gasoline by a whopping 18 cents per gallon if it were to pass, but it's not going to pass. Republican U.S. Senator Thune, Biden's gas tax holiday is dead on arrival in Congress. Even Biden's own Democrats refuse to commit. We will see where the consensus lies on a path forward for the president's proposal in the House and in the Senate. So here's the ideas that they want him to pursue. Regulatory changes, which the White House could make without Congress, including issuing raid vapor pressure waivers, and which would allow the sale of cheaper winter blend gasoline during the summer. The Jones Act waivers, which would allow generally less expensive foreign vessels to transport fuel between U.S. ports. Oh yeah, the Jones Act is this super old law that makes it so that you cannot, if you're a foreign boat, you cannot go from one U.S. port to another. You have to arrive at a port, drop your stuff, and then leave. But that means that there's no business for foreign entities to be efficient in their distribution at multiple ports. Transportation within America. And so you end up paying super high prices for your within America transportation services. Easing the renewable volume obligation, which has seen increased compliance cost for refiners, as renewable identification numbers, the credits purchased to comply with the programs, have traded substantially higher over the last 2 years. Well, yes, do these three things. And also, drill, baby, drill. That's the one thing that will truly change the price of gas. We need to produce more gas. Go away says, this is bullshit. I require nicotine to keep my testosterone levels high. All right, I can understand. Nicotine addiction is quite a thing. House GOP leaders oppose bipartisan gun deal as Senate moves toward passage. So there's the bipartisan deal that's being made in the Senate. But then it's going to come to the House. But does it really change something if the Republicans vote no? Because the Democrats in the House, I guess, would be numerous enough to make it pass. So I don't know. But it seems that the leaders of the Republican Party are very insisting that this does not pass. But you're going to need some Democrats to vote no on it. In the current context of alarmism around shootings, unlikely to happen. I think this bill might very well pass. By the way, another bill that has passed is Bill C-11. Oh my God. C-11 in Canada. Taking control of the YouTube algorithm to favor Canadian content creators, which... of course, they're going to find a way to argue that Papa JF is not a Canadian content creator. They're going to set standards like, oh yeah, to be one of the selected organizations for the Canadian... because they are planning to take control of the algorithm and basically force YouTube to redirect people constantly to these trusted sources. And of course, Papa JF, although Papa JF makes very little errors, you know. My rate of errors is probably lower than your average mainstream media in Canada. And yet, they will find a way to make an argument that people shouldn't redirect to me. It will apply to YouTube, it will apply to Odyssey, potentially, if the Canadian government cares enough to force them. And not only this, it gives the CRTC power to legislate and to make decisions on all content of the internet as if it was broadcast radio content. Now, there are perhaps things that I will change in my corporate structure in the next few weeks. It won't affect the show itself, but... I saw this news and I made some moves. I made some decisions, just rearranging things, not things that that will change anything about the show, really. But because there's an exception in this bill, and it's for user contributions. And how is it that the CRTC will decide whether you're a company or a user? Might have to do with some of the stuff that you can read in the description, like, are you posing as a company? Are you posing as an individual? You will likely see me increasingly pose as an individual. Like, this is not JFG Tonight, the multinational mega corporation. It will be more like, this is JFG Tonight, the little show with JF. Like, maybe I'm going to add a couch here to create a kind of lounge type, cigar type of stuff effect. Maybe I'll smoke a cigar sometimes on the show just to say, like, this is Canadian content creation and it is done by an individual. So it won't change anything, but it will... I will try, I guess, to be considered an individual by this stuff. Because if you're not an individual, they can basically decide that your show tonight is too hateful and they can strike you. They can basically force Odyssey to delete me. I will try to be an individual as much as I can, but it seems that the law actually may end up finding that I'm not an individual, because one of the criteria that the CRTC is allowed to consider in determining if someone is an individual or a broadcasting corporation is whether someone somewhere makes money from the content. And it's like, that's basically everyone. I mean, even in 2014, when I was a little YouTuber with 10 views per video, there was some amount of publicity and someone was making money. Maybe not me back then, but someone is making money somewhere always. And so the CRTC will basically have a hammer of censorship cross-Canadian. And given their past decision, especially in the case of right-wing radio in Quebec, where they've been denying licenses to right-wing radio in Quebec, claiming, oh, you've been doing too much right-wing content and you had promised to put some French music. You've not put enough French music. My God, it's going to become a headache. But I will push the limits of this system. I'm determined to continue operating despite and under Bill C-11. If the Conservatives win, they have promised to cancel that law. But the three other parties of the federal government have voted for this law. Now it's going to the Senate, and the Senate has signaled, because the Senate in Canada is a joke, but the Senate, for the first time I've ever heard in my life, has been signaling in advance that they were serious and they were going to seriously look into Bill C-11. Which means maybe we're going to get a refusal at the Senate. Don't count on it. Don't hold your breath. Because the Senate in Canada is really a bunch of corrupted, elected by politicians type of people. I mean, they're not even elected by the people. They're elected by the corrupt regime. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe they will have a sudden drive for liberty. It's the last thing we can count on, because the bill just passed the House. So, yeah. Will I succeed at... And then there's the question. By qualifying as an individual, will you be depriving yourself of the algorithmic advantage that the government of Canada is trying to claim? Because perhaps one other strategy would be, no, I'm not an individual. I am a news broadcasting corporation with paid journalists. Just turns out that I'm the only paid journalist, but there's also Mama JF, you know, she's there, and she's I could make her a paid journalist. I don't know if I choose the individual route, will I then be punished in that Odyssey will systematically lead my viewership to other channel creators that are officially approved by the government of Canada? I don't know. And so we'll see how it develops. And as I always do, I will try to use my time in the best way possible to challenge the system, contest it, and broadcast my thoughts and right-wing ideas. Go away, says JF. Start wearing a beanie in your stream. It will make you look more casual. Chill with JF. We're going to need new show names. Chill with Papa JF tonight. 2024 poll. DeSantis edges Trump in New Hampshire, which holds the first presidential primary. Polls suggest DeSantis support surging among likely GOP presidential primary voters in the first primary state of New Hampshire. That is very interesting. It's just the first state, but it could extend into a wave that eventually leads DeSantis to beat Trump. I don't know if it's a good idea to break the heart of Americans and kind of put a final X on Trump, because I think that Americans like a good comeback story. Just as is the case in The Batman, you know, the Joker says, Gotham City loves a good comeback. I think that it would resolve a lot of things emotionally if Trump, instead of being seen as this president that got rejected by the deep state, could be seen as the president that came back for 2024 and that fixed maybe inflation or something like this. I think a lot of Trump fans would enjoy this. But the idea of getting new blood in Ron DeSantis might be more charming, because we know that Trump fails at pushing a truly right-wing traditional conception of family and family values. Conservative, you know, social conservatism is a big failure for Trump. So we'll see. I'm pretty neutral, one or the other, but perhaps I prefer slightly Ron DeSantis. Oil giants warn of much higher prices for the next 3 to 5 years amid lack of supply. Well, of course, lack of supply, but produce more gas. That was the attitude of Trump. Go away, says Trump is unelectable. At this point, he does more to energize the left than anyone else. You know, you have to look at the world in an open way. It's not set in stone what happens. And Trump was unelectable also before he got elected, you know. Trump has done it before, being unelectable and ending up being elected. So who knows? In the current state of media censorship and his banning from Twitter, maybe it seems hard, but it doesn't take much rocks to fall to start the avalanche. A little Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, a little unbanning on Twitter, a kind of return to a standard of free speech on the internet, that could create a social mood. And anyway, let's also mention that Biden is performing so bad that is there really anyone who's unelectable? Ask yourself this question. Because if the rat against Trump has pushed the vote in 2020, the rat against Biden might very well do the same. And in that context, I don't think Trump is unelectable. In fact, I don't think anyone is unelectable. I think there will be enough hate for Biden that it could power any other campaign. Homeland Security asks all federal employees to consider volunteering at the border, with migrant encounters at the southern border continuing to set new records. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is asking all civilian federal employees to consider volunteering for a 60-day summer stint along the sweltering frontier. In Canada, you have these opportunities, but it's like, oh, let's go plant trees to save the planet. For you guys in America, it's let's go whip some migrants in at the southern border for 60 days. No, I'm sure that it's not the intent of the Joe Biden government to whip migrants. But it's weird. It's like, oh, they're taking in volunteers. They're taking in employees of other workforces that would be sent to do this job. But that's what happens when you have the impression in the migrant population that suddenly Trump is not there and suddenly America is a more welcoming place. And they might very well be right about this. And that leads to more problem, more cost, more processing at the border. Uvalde school police chief placed on administrative leave as criticism grows over response to shooting. Yeah, it looks more and more like this guy is going to take all of the blame because he's the one who made the call to stand back. So they're going to end up very strongly against him. Someone sent me this article. The billionaire family pushing synthetic sex identities. The wealthy, powerful, and sometimes very weird Pritzker cousins have set their sights on a new godlike goal, using gender ideology to remake human biology. Read this book, please, and stop investing billions in destroying humanity. So on top of the whole gender identity movement, which has already led to an explosion in the number of sexual and gender identities that are possible now, they're going to create new ones. So the form that it takes, I guess, is pregnant man, being pregnant with your own clone, not having a father for real because you are the product of an egg from your mother and then a synthetic genome from an hypothetical male made by computer. This is what we're talking about. And this is basically the revolutionary phenotype. Because as you do this, if you end up taking the option, for example, of not having a father at all and having the male part of the genome be synthetically produced by a computer, then you've let the computer print your genes. So this is the path for the phenotypic revolution. We must stop it. And finally, a last news item before we close the show. Texas woman pleads guilty to 26 counts of voter fraud in vote harvesting operation. A Texas woman pleaded guilty on June 16 to 26 counts of voter fraud committed during a local water board election in 2018. She ran a vote harvesting operation on behalf of a subsidized housing corporation in order to influence the outcome of a utility board election. And there's a business for this at the state level and very local level in the specific business of voting for housing policies. But you're going to tell me that this does not happen in federal election, in all sorts of other elections? That is what the current laws of censorship on the internet are compelling us to believe, or they are at least trying to convince us that that's the case. But, you know, it's very disappointing because, okay, this prosecution happens in Texas. Would they have this prosecution in a Democrat state that has voted for a Democrat president about the federal election? Unfortunately, I think they wouldn't have it. So all we can do is clean our states that we control, the right wing, But it's going to be very hard to clean the other states. And so I think that America is bound on a slippery slope in a downfall toward its destruction. And there's nothing that you're going to be able to do other than hide in a right-wing state for as long as it can last. And eventually you're going to also lose that state. That's it for tonight. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.